That's much better. Scarcely had they ended their Last Supper when in the darkness there were a few soldiers, a couple of swords, and that, as they say, was that. They fled. Peter the rock crumbled before the accusing maid. We will hear no more of these disciples on this bloody dark weekend. Their bit part in this play is over. In so many ways, tonight's story is about our precarious goodness. God knows full well that we are not bold in our faith. We are pitiful in our pretensions of moral perfection. Look at us. I mean, one moment declaring our firm faith, a moment later scurrying away into the dark. And they all forsook him and fled. Long time ago, I remember asking a wise old minister what he had learned about people in his 35 years of ministry. And he said that I have found that people are more victims than villains. It's not large, organized, impressive evil that catches our attention in this story of Maundy Thursday. It's the little, commonplace, ordinary betrayal of people. People like the disciples whose actions don't match their intentions. The soldiers and their swords, Pilate's trial, this sort of official cruelty is common, but not too near where we live. It's the scattering of the disciples that gets too close to us for comfort. This is us. Not large, major evil, just little, understandable acts of cowardice and betrayal. As Jesus said of us in Gethsemane, the spirit is willing, but our flesh is weak. We have a wonderful phrase that we use whenever we hear that someone has fallen or messed up or gotten caught, been found out, uncovered, indicted. We say, "There, but for the grace of God, go on." And well, we should. But for the grace of God, we have no claim to goodness or courage in ourselves. Our goodness is not simply unimpressive, it's precarious. A young employee secretly misappropriated several hundred dollars of his business firm's money. When this action was discovered, the young man was told to report to the office of the senior partner of the firm. As he walked up the stairs toward the administrative office, this young employee was heavy-hearted. He knew, without a doubt, he would lose his position with the firm. He also feared the possibility of legal action being taken against him. Seemingly, his whole world had collapsed. Upon his arrival in the office of the senior executive, this young man was questioned about the whole affair. He was asked if the allegations were true, and he answered in the affirmative. Then he surprisingly asked the question, "If I keep you in your present capacity, can I trust you in the future?" The young worker brightened up and said, "Yes, sir. You surely can. I've learned my lesson." The executive responded, "I'm not going to press charges, and you can continue in your present responsibility." The employer concluded the conversation with his young employee by saying, "I think you ought to know, however, that you are the second man in this firm who succumbed to temptation and was shown leniency. I was the first. What you have done, I did. The mercy you are receiving, I receive. It is only the grace of God that can keep us both there, but for the grace of God, go I. So much divides us. Race and gender and ability and talent. But tonight, at this table for sinners, we're all one. We couldn't get together on good doctrine or universal ethical principles or whether this candidate is better than that one. But when the soldiers came for Jesus, we all joined as one, and together we fled into the darkness. That, I feel, is a major reason why there are so few gathered here tonight. There are few not only because it's strange to come in on a Thursday night to have a service of worship, but because it's painful. It's painful to hear a story like this one and realize that it's about us. Our goodness is so precarious. And it is to such as us that he promised the kingdom of God. He sat with us at the table and endured our pitiful pronouncements of fidelity, our rather silly claims of courage. Even as they led him away to die, he promised us a place in his kingdom. My body broken, he said, my blood shed for you. On this night of nights, our precarious goodness was surpassed by his persevering, persistent grace, so that we might venture out from our well-deserved darkness and move sheepishly toward his table, knowing there by his grace we go. Shall we pray? Dear God of unending love, we are filled with so many conflicting feelings as we gather on this holy night. We come to share the story and to break the bread together and to experience our common life in the body of Christ. We come in a spirit of reflection and even wonder, for the mysteries of this night are so much more than we can ever comprehend. We become aware of our many shortcomings and our need for your healing love. We gather here to ask for guidance, that we might use all the gifts you entrusted to us. Use them for the redemption of our community and our world. Lord, enable us to reach out to one another in times of grief or illness, to embrace one another across all lines of difference. Dear God of mercy, hold us in your love. We gather as a community aware of the many ways we have broken covenant with you. We open our hearts anew in preparation to receive your gifts of forgiveness and healing. God of mercy, hold us in your love. Amen.